This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hello and welcome to the audio blog. This is Paolo back with another episode of Italians of the World for Thoughts on the Table. Today with me is Cristina Conte from Cristina's Cucina. Hi, Cristina.
Hi, Paolo. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for connecting with me. So I wanted to talk a little bit about you first. Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. As you said, my name is Cristina Conte, and I am 100% Italian, but I was born in Scotland, and that surprises a lot of people, except for the people in Scotland that know that there's a huge population of Italian Scots living in Scotland.
I see.
Basically, the influx of Italians into Scotland was because the potatoes and the fish were very plentiful there. And when they didn't have work in Italy, a lot of the Italians moved there. So it was my great-grandfather that was the first one to move from Italy to Scotland.
I see.
My paternal great-grandfather. So, and my mother was born in Italy. And her sister married essentially my dad's stepbrother. And together they had fish and chip shop.
Oh.
So food is kind of, you know, on both sides of my family, very huge. And the reason we left Scotland was to move to America to open a restaurant. But it never ended up happening. And you know, obviously, it was just too hard to move back. So basically, my parents started a new life over here.
I see. How old were you when you moved to America?
9 and a half.
I see. So you were a kid.
I was little, and I had, you know, obviously, I had a Scottish accent, but the children were very mean to me, and they made fun of my accent. So I forced myself to speak with an American accent as much as I could. And obviously, it stuck.
Does it still come out from time to time?
You know, when I go to Scotland, yeah, when I, if I'm around Scottish people or, you know, go back to Scotland, the little lilt at the end comes out again. And
I also know you, you speak some Italian as well.
I do. I speak dialect mostly.
Oh, I see.
I would love to be able to speak proper Italian, but I don't spend enough time with Rosetta Stone.
So which parts of Italy were your parents from, or their parents, or your parents' families?
My mother was born in a town near Cervaro, which is in Frosinone. It's between Rome and Naples. And the most significant, I guess, well-known place there is Monte Cassino.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You can see Monte Cassino from her village. And my father's father was born in the same area, very, very close. And my father's mother was born in Atina, which is maybe not even 10 miles from Monte Cassino. I think it's probably like 7 miles or something. So they're both from, you know, the same region.
Nearby towns. Nice.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Do you go back to Italy often?
I have not been back to Italy, and this is the longest period of time since I moved to America. In, I think it's 10, it'll be 10 years this year in September.
Yeah.
And I would love to go this year because in September I'm going back to Scotland again, and I would love to take a little jaunt down to Italy while I'm over there, but you know, my daughter is going to be applying to colleges, and I just can't be. So that's a little frustrating.
The reason why I ask is because when I see your blog and your recipes, as I mentioned to you many times, you are 100% authentic continental Italian, as I would describe it. So your cuisine is not Italian-American. the type of recipes that you publish are totally something you could find in Italy today.
Right.
And I noticed that right away, and you're a Canola Award winner because of that. For those who don't know, it's a funny thing. It's just a little idea that occurred to me that we should try to recognize those who write Italian, authentic Italian recipes with an award that they can pass on to other food bloggers that do the same thing. And the reason is not that we like awards and we like to celebrate ourselves, is that we would like to label things, so in this case, authentic Italian food of Italy today. And of course, in my blog, I go over this and I explain that I love to see the same being done for all type of cuisine.
Right.
Japanese, authentic Italian-American too. Maybe with some spaghetti meatballs on the logo.
It would help all of us.
It would, I think.
I would love to know, for example, I was just in Germany. I would love to know if a recipe I'm going to use has been approved by someone that knows German food.
Exactly.
And says, you know what? I'm giving this my stamp of approval. This is a genuine, authentic German recipe. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that someone's version of that authentic German recipe is not going to be delicious and tasty.
Yeah.
But to know when you don't know German food, it's kind of like having, you know, an encyclopedia, a dictionary. You can just use it as a point of reference and say,
exactly,
you know, this is the authentic, this is what's been passed on for years and years and years.
Exactly.
Everybody in my family just continues to make things the way it was passed down. I'm not saying that it's all made exactly the same. Nobody's using cookbooks. Nobody's saying, oh, but this is the way, you know, out of the seven sisters, if you told them to make, you know, gnocchi, or, you know, you just picked something, there would probably be seven different variations.
Right.
But they would all be authentic. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to go throw cilantro in the sauce.
Exactly.
I can tell you that right now.
Right. So, question for you. How do you tell that this is authentic Italian food?
I guess the easiest way for me to look at something and just if I had to like say yay or nay to whether it's authentic or not is if it's on a menu, I look first at Italian restaurants. I check the spelling.
Exactly.
If there's misspelled words, you know, one could be a typo, but when there's three or four, or they're putting things together that don't go together, I just keep walking.
Exactly. And if you own an Italian restaurant, it doesn't take much. Please do spell check your menu. It's really something that Italians are very particular about. It's not quite the same for English. I realize now I've been living in Vancouver for 14 years almost. And I realize that spelling is a bit of a challenge for a lot of people. And I'm smiling because it's very strange to an Italian that people can struggle with spelling. But it actually makes sense for the English language. Not the same for Italian, since it's pronounced the same way as it's written, with very few exceptions. You know, it's impossible for an Italian to get it wrong.
It's so funny because I was older. I believe I was maybe even in college when I realized that Italians don't know what spelling means.
Yeah.
My cousin, I would ask him when he would say something or whatever, and I'd say, spell it for me. Like,
I don't know how.
And he just, it was foreign to him.
No, it's the same for me. I'll tell you, I've been here for quite some time. I did learn some English my way, but I still have a very hard time spelling, even spelling my own name. So I have to think about it. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, little parenthesis on spelling for restaurateurs in North America that have an Italian restaurant. It's not that hard. Please spell it. So we've been talking about authenticity, and thanks so much for explaining what it means to you. So, Christina, I wanted to continue this interview or chat, let's say, with a few more questions on you as a food blogger. It's really interesting to me to know what was your motivation when you started. How does one like you start writing a blog?
Well, the actual reason I started it, I I had a blog before I even knew anything about writing a blog. I was at breakfast with two friends. My son had just gone off to college, and I told them, I said, I have to get a job. I have to, you know, go back to work now that I have, you know, mm-hmm. sent him off to school, and I just have my daughter that I can do some, I have time to do some work. And both of them said, you have to do something with your cooking. That's a no-brainer. You know, do something, you know, get a job cooking or something. Mm-hmm. And one of them said, why don't you start a blog? And I said, I don't know anything about starting a blog. And they said, Google. So I went home that night and I Googled, how do you start a blog? And whatever the first thing popped up, I entered, you know, my name or email address or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I was shocked when it said, what do you want to call your blog? And I just, the first thing that popped into my mind was Christina's Cucina. It was literally like a 10-second thing. Mm-hmm. I popped it in and hit, you know, the next
button.
Continue. Mm-hmm. And it said, congratulations, your blog is live. And I almost had a heart attack. And I thought, oh, what? No, it can't be this easy. I don't know anything about this. So I typed out, this is a test. This is only a test. Had this been an actual blog, you would be reading something interesting right now. And that was my first post. And I just really learned by trial and error. And mm-hmm. I've got so far to go.
Well,
but my two main goals in having my blog, mm-hmm. I actually have three. One is to get people in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Because I find that so many people really are lacking basic skills.
It's an awesome one to have.
Fantastic. I think it's so important to have those just basic cooking skills. And I'm not saying you have to be Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen, but you can just do some basic things and you can make so many meals with some basic skills.
And be very happy. Yeah.
And be very happy. Mm-hmm. Another goal is what we've been talking about tonight, preserving authentic Italian cuisine. And I'm not saying that you can't experiment, you can't do things and infuse, you know, mm-hmm. different flavors into Italian cuisine. That's not what I'm saying. But I think it's really important. It's kind of like saving animals from extinction. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. If we don't, some of us don't try to preserve authentic Italian cuisine, it is dying a horrific death in North America.
It is.
And I'm trying to do my part to preserve it. Mm-hmm. And the third part of my goal is I really, really get upset when I hear so many people bashing Scottish and British cuisine. Mm-hmm. Because I really feel like, and this is coming from an Italian mm-hmm. that adores Italian food, I really feel that Scottish and British food is some of the best cuisine in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's got so much to offer. And because people are not educated, they just continue the stereotype, ooh, bland British food. A lot of these people have not even stepped foot in Britain. And they're saying this. So I'm trying to stop that stereotypical mindset of it's bad food, because it's not.
Fantastic. So, yeah, this is awesome. Thanks for sharing that. This is really cool. Yeah, I did not know that this was one of your goals. That's very, very interesting. Yeah. So we got that. And another question that I had for you was, in your blog, you have a mix of authentic dishes that are traditional mm-hmm. and that you're presenting. And then you have other dishes that are original.
Right.
So how is the creative process for you? How do you come up with original dishes? If you want to share that with us.
You know what? It's not like I say, I want to make X or I need to make, you know, something with this. I don't think about it. It mm-hmm. kind of, it comes to me.
Yeah.
For example, you know, one time, a lot of times it's a mistake. I was making leek and potato soup.
Yeah.
And as I was cooking the leeks and onions, I either forgot about it or I was multitasking. Mm-hmm. And when I opened it, you're not supposed to brown the leeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was caramelized.
I see.
And I went, oh no, you know, ruined the soup. But it wasn't burnt. It was just caramelized. So mm-hmm. I just went ahead and made it. I think it was just we weren't having anybody for dinner.
Yeah.
It was delicious. It was a cross between French onion and leek soup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I just created a new soup. So it's sometimes it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a ton of recipes out there that they're very famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how they were formed, is because something happened and the cook tried to, you know, salvage the dish somehow, ended up doing something to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was better than the original, and it's just been, you know, a famous dish ever since.
Exactly.
So sometimes it's a mistake. Sometimes, you know, for recipe development, somebody, you know, will come to me and say, I need, you to make something with this. And that's when I say, right, what can I do with this? And I just start, you know, trying to think of different things. But usually something will pop and something will sound really good to me.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly. And a lot of Italian dishes come from the reuse of leftovers. So it's totally in line with the philosophy that you shouldn't waste food. At the same time, the food should taste good. So if you can find a way to fix it, then you must fix it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the other thing. Yeah. No wasting any food. I hate to throw any food away. So I'm constantly coming up with ways to use things. And like you said, it has to taste good, because what's the point of eating something if it doesn't taste good?
Exactly. Christina, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been great. And congratulations again on your blog. It's a fantastic achievement. Everybody should go check out Christina's blog. If you don't know it already, please follow her. There'll be all the links posted on the article.
Grazie.
Christina, and later on, maybe I'll touch base with you again and we continue our conversation again on some topics of your choosing.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Okay, so thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll get back soon with another episode.